In a world searching for answers, God's truth is vital. The Devoted Podcast seeks to answer these questions from God's Word as they share the gospel one listener at a time. Thank you for joining us today. Here are your hosts, Caleb Shaner and Pastor Ben Heffernan.
Hello, I'm Caleb Shaner, host of the Devoted Podcast. I'm just excited to be back in the studio today, and we are just thrilled to have a guest, evangelist Bobby Bosler, with us here in the studio. And, we're just excited to, again, get into God's Word, and God's already been doing some pretty amazing things here in our church, here at Bethel Community Baptist Church, and with a teen event. And so I won't take away any spotlight from him. But I'll just turn it back over to him in the, what is your ministry?
Yeah, so you could call my ministry youth evangelism. So years ago, God burdened my heart for teenagers, and specifically reaching teenagers with the good news. I think most of us know the good news is not just how to know for sure you're on your way to heaven, though that is definitely a big part of the good news. In the sense that we're sinners, we deserve to be punished in hell for our sins, but Jesus came because he loved us and died on the cross for our sins, and if we'll trust him alone, he'll save us. That's the beginning of the good news, but it doesn't stop when a person gets saved. I'm also felt called to share the good news for young people on what then? What does God have for your life? And really fulfilling the full-orbed concept of the Great Commission, and so because of that, we've got a ministry called The Generation, where we seek to teach and train young people how to live a life of surrender to God and dependence on him as well. As far as the evangelistic side of our ministry, we do two programs called, one is called The War, and the other is called The Cola Clash. Cola Clash is what we've been doing here this week. Both of them are essentially the same thing. But what we do is I have a team of college students with me, college-age young people. We come to a church and a community, and we spend a couple days trying to find any teen and every teen, and we invite them to come to this three-night rally. We've got a lot of fun competitions and games, like a four-foot ball we use for volleyball and basketball, a race where you can tackle people, tug-of-war over a mud pit. That's what some folks have been working on here today. But in addition to all of that, the whole point of it is at the end of the night, we share the gospel. I preach the gospel and show them how they can be saved and delivered from the consequences of their sin. And we invite them to come back in an invitation and trust Christ as their Savior. We've been doing this now for 12 years, all across the country and really all across the world. We've done these primarily in the United States, but we've also done some in Canada, Ireland, South Africa, and Cambodia.
Wow.
And I would love to do them in other countries too, as the Lord leads. Typically, they're coupled with like a missions trip of some sort when we do them overseas. I was just looking yesterday. I've preached the gospel to, I think it's over 16,000 people. Mm. And there have been thousands who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Wow. And so that's one part of our ministry, the evangelistic side, the revival side. We actually have a podcast too, called the Generation Podcast. We put it out weekly for young people. We have an annual youth summit for what you could call the revival side of our ministry, the Christian side of our ministry, where we invite young people to come from all over the country and spend 2.5 days in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, with a combination of competition and revival preaching, where we really just want to inspire them and help them see God has a plan for your life. And no matter how introverted or incapable you might feel, God can use you to turn the world upside down with the gospel. So we really want to inspire young people to surrender their lives to the Lord and to rely upon him to do great things for God. And so that, for the most part, encapsulates a lot of what we do with the youth.
That's wonderful. That's amazing. Just to see the ability of how God is using you and your team just to get into hearts and homes. We've been able to hear a little bit of the testimony on Sunday here in the church service, as well as just kind of throughout the week, you know, hearing little bits in there. So it's just really, really neat to see that. I guess, what is your testimony?
Yeah, so it's a really long story. I could spend most of the podcast talking about this story. Long story short, I was conceived illegitimately. My mom, birth mom, knew that the best thing for me was not for her to keep me, but to give me up for adoption. And she wanted to keep me. She was a Christian, a believer, and she gave me up for adoption, selected a great family in New Jersey to be my parents, and signed on the dotted line, and it was a closed adoption. So all growing up, I had no idea who my birth mom was. My parents, who adopted me, raised me like their own. They told me from the beginning that I was adopted. They said it was a special thing, that they chose me because they wanted me. And I was saved at an early age. At around the age of four or so, I was in a revival meeting, and an evangelist was speaking about the gospel, and I was just torched. I was torched inside. Even though I was young, I knew I was a dirty, rotten sinner. I felt that heaviness of conviction. And knew that Jesus was my only hope, and so I went forward in an invitation and trusted Christ as my Savior. And there's a lot I didn't understand, but I knew enough to know that Jesus was the solution for my sin problem. And he saved me. I'll be honest with you, for the years following, for a variety of different reasons, I struggled with assurance of my salvation. I really struggled, maybe heard some unhealthy things, like if you're getting away with sin, and your parents don't know about it, you're not saved, and maybe some imbalanced statements about some aspects of assurance really made me doubt. Probably the biggest thing that impacted me is when I was 12, my adopted mom died. There's a whole lead up to that. She went in for a transplant. It was successful, but there were other related things that went wrong in her body, and one day, she was successfully a transplant survivor, and the next day, she was gone. And that caused me to spiral into anger, bitterness, resentment, coping with the pain. My life was ruined, so I thought. I was upset at God. I was upset at my circumstances. And from the age of 12 to the age of 16, I really spent my life living for myself, living for the world, living for every ounce of fun that I could get out of life. I spent a lot of my days in video games. That for me was just the coping mechanism that I had chosen to escape from the hurt of life, and got into internet pornography. During those years, I got involved in the world's music. Listen to things that just made me feel good. You know, I developed a foul mouth. And even though I was saved, I didn't look like I was. And those were years of darkness. Those were very much years of pain, years of living for myself that I'm not proud of. And if I could change, I would do it in a heartbeat. But I'm thankful when I was 16, my dad got married again. She had been a missionary to Africa for 15 years. She had never been married before, and she entered into our lives. She got not only a husband, but a rebellious 16-year-old. And my mom, Vicky, began to pray for me, and she was very careful to not be overbearing. She had a lot of things she was very concerned about in my life, but she didn't just come in swinging or shooting her guns or running in like a bull in a china shop. She chose to love me for who I was and where I was at. And the most important thing was she chose to really pray for me. And as she began to seek God for me, God began to do some things in my life. He began to make me very dissatisfied with the life that I was living. God began to, in answer to her prayers, show me the end of my ways. Though I was assured of heaven, I didn't feel like it, but I was on my way to heaven. I knew that the fruit of my decisions was going to be very painful and destructive. And so as a 16-year-old, again, I had been homeschooled for a period of time. There's a whole period of time after my mom had died. I was literally totally home alone, homeschooling myself while my dad was off at work. like not a good situation. I was in one room playing video games while my videos were playing in the other. I wouldn't recommend that for anyone. But because I wasn't paying attention to my lessons, I didn't know the answers. And so I figured out how to crack open the cabinet and get the answer keys and cheat on my tests and quizzes. And I wasn't learning. And I felt so guilty for all of the garbage that I've been involved in. And all of this was building in guilt. And one night, and I really believe it was an answer to my mom's prayers, God showed me that if I continued down the course, I was going to destroy my life. I was going to ruin it. I was going to be a washout, probably on drugs, maybe in prison, just with a total terrible life. And I know at that point, I essentially said, I don't want that, but I've tried to fix this. You know, every rebel has moments where they're like, this really probably isn't how it ought to be. Let me try to do better. And it just didn't work for me. And I would try and fail and try and fail and try and fail and then just realize, well, you know what? If I'm a failure, I might as well enjoy myself while I'm failing. But when I was 16, I was sick of the trying and failing whole pattern. And I was in my bedroom. And I looked up to heaven and I said, God, I am sick of this. This life is unchangeable. I've tried and it doesn't work. And I'm sick of trying. And you know what? If this life is going to change, I guess you're just going to have to be the one who does it. This was not a statement of faith. Okay. This was not a prayer of faith. This was in a certain sense, a it ain't going to happen kind of a prayer. It was not your typical surrender to God. I wasn't surrendering to anything. I was just saying, this life is unchangeable. This life is unfixable. You're going to have to do it. And since this is my responsibility, not yours, I guess it ain't going to happen. Well, you know what? God humored me. And it was like God said, I can change your life. And the stranger, this is a weird testimony. I just recognize it right off the bat here. My life changed. And it was like the things that I felt like I was in the grips of, the things that I felt like couldn't change. It was like the desires for those things went away. Huh. It was like I started having victory over things I didn't even think was possible. And for about 2 weeks, it was like, what is this? I don't get this. This is cool. And after about 2 weeks, I remember thinking, I think I got this. I think I got this figured out. And then, boom, I fell on my face again. And I plunged back into the darkness. But there was something about those few weeks that gave me a taste that victory was possible. Fast forward about 2 years, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, I went to a Christian school my senior year. Heard some preaching that I never heard before, just some encouraging stuff. Even though I was a mess, I wasn't living my life for God, there came a point in time when God spoke to me and said, I want you to be a preacher. And I said, okay. And freaked out about it later. Not too long after that, a preacher came, an evangelist came to my church and began to preach on this concept that he called the reality of the spirit-filled life. He talked about God dependence for spirit enablement. And I began to realize that God lives inside of me. And if I will depend upon him and not myself, he is the victor, not me. And he can give me his victory as I depend upon him and yield to him. And what happened when I was 16 started to make sense. And I began to understand the actual theology, the scriptural basis for what I had experienced earlier. And I began to learn how to live it. And I would say from that meeting, I began to grow like crazy. It was like when I began to realize that I actually could have victory and how to have victory, it took the governor off of my engine. I mean, it's like the limits were gone and I just began to totally yield my life to the Lord and surrender to him because it was possible. This wasn't this unattainable, miserable kind of surrender I could because God was in me. And it just, I surrendered my life to the Lord. I surrendered things to the Lord. I surrendered my direction, the whole direction of my life with gusto, and began to make decisions of faith and other decisions of surrender, where I was going to go to college, you know. And boy, God led me to Bible College in Wisconsin, Baptist College of Ministry, and I attended college there. And boy, I just was growing. God clarified my call to preach was not just a call to preaching in general, but to evangelism in particular. And then throughout my college years, He further clarified youth evangelism, like I shared about earlier. And I've been traveling pretty much since graduation. Ever since. And you know, it has been just a thrill to see teenagers who have no hope, who feel like there is no path forward for them, and say, I've been there. And to be able to preach and give hope to teenagers who have no hope. So that's a little bit of my story. You can maybe see from my story why the whole dual aspect of the good news is so important to me. You know, not just how you can go to heaven, but how you can have victory in your life and live with great potential for what God can do in you and through you. So just a little bit of my testimony. Wow. There.
That is amazing. It just kind of goes along with the theme for this podcast is, you know, there's a question that and you probably come across it. I know I have with teenagers is, how do I know God's will?
Yeah.
And how do I know His direction in my life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like everything is falling apart around me. Mm-hmm. What kind of a challenge from God's word would you have for some teenagers who are seeking?
Yeah, you know, God reveals His will in a number of different ways. He reveals His will through His word. He reveals His will sometimes in our hearts through just the subjective leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He reveals His will by cornering us into it, by closing all the other doors. So all we have is the one that's set right in front of us. But, you know, in all of those kinds of ways, sometimes God reveals His will through authorities. Again, there's all kinds of different ways that God can show us His will. But I would say the overarching and most important position you can place yourself in to know God's will is to be totally surrendered to it, whatever it might be. I find sometimes we can come and want to know God's will only if it's option A or B. But option C is something we're really not interested in, and option D is something we're really not interested in. And it's like we say, God, so between choice one and two, which one do you want? And God sometimes says option three or both of them or neither of them. And just sometimes we come to God and we say, here are the options I'm willing to do. And we expect God to fit into our grid, into our bucket list. And I'm sorry, that's not how God works. Mm-hmm. And really what God wants from us is to be completely and totally submitted to whatever He wants. In fact, there's a text that I was thinking of here regarding this podcast. It's neat how the Lord has led here in this way. In James 4 and verse 7, He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. There's a whole context around it that I won't get into right now, except to say He's talking about conflict. He's talking about people seeking pleasure and that which brings them happiness. And in the midst of all of it, people who are seeking pleasure and they find it in the world, they are not living in a healthy relationship with God. And as much as God has His grace, He wants them. He has a... as it says here, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. And I know people have two different takes on that. I personally take the take that that's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He fervently and earnestly wants us. He is jealous when we yield our lives to other things. And the hope that He gives here is He gives more grace, but He resists the proud. Mm. And, you know, I think a lot of times we want God to enable us to do what we want to do. We want God to make everything go well within our set of plans. You know, a lot of times I hear teenagers, you know, hey, I'm going to go off to Bible college, or I'm just going to go off to college, or I'm going to go get a job, or I'm going to do my thing. God, would you bless it? And they want God to bless their plans. But I think one thing that's key is before you ask God to bless your plans, you got to recognize God only blesses his plans. And if you want God's blessing, God's grace, his intervention, enablement, his empowerment, you've got to first yield to his plans. And the way he says it here is submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If you think about it, anything other than submitting to God's plans is pride. Because we admit that we essentially, the underlying thought is, I know better than you, God. My plan is better than your plan. And that refusal to bow the knee to God's plan is a posture that God will resist. That is a perspective that God is not going to bless. And so if we want that grace that he promises, we have to humble ourselves and recognize, you know what, God, your plan is better than mine. And I am going to, in humility, submit to his plan. But you ask the question, how do I know God's will? Again, I really think, and this is maybe going to sound a little bit of an oversimplification, the way you know God's will is to be surrendered to God's will. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not surrendered to God's will, God has no obligation to show it to you. I find sometimes young people, they want to make a lot of money, and God, so long as your will involves me making a lot of money, I'll do what you want me to do. But if your will involves something other than making a lot of money, I don't really want that. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to start there. We've got to start with complete and total surrender to the will of God. I had a couple things written down here about that word submit. One lexicon said this, it's to submit to the orders or directives of someone. That's what it means to submit. Someone else said this about this word in this context, to submit to God means to place ourselves under his lordship and therefore to commit ourselves to obey him in all things. Somebody else said it's a call for their voluntary subordination to God and his will. Thus, they must express their recognition of God as supreme in their lives. I got to ask yourself, you know, your listeners here, this question, what is supreme in your life? Is it your happiness? Is it your comfort? Is it your bucket list? Is it your sense of fulfillment? Is it, again, whatever it is that is supreme, if it's not God, then you are not submitted to him. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we've got to be willing to say, God, you are the most important thing, and I want to obey you. I like what he said. One of them said, and to commit ourselves to obey him in all things. See, this matter of total surrender, everything's on the table. We're sitting here on a desk, right? A table, a 6-foot table in the auditorium of your church. I've got my Bible on the table. I got a pair of sunglasses. I got my cell phone. We got a couple microphones. You got a clipboard on the table. And you know what? We might have some things in our pockets that are not on the table. When it comes to God and submitting to him, every pocket needs to be empty. It all needs to be out there. Okay? You know, so many times folks say, God, you can direct my life, but don't touch my movies. God, you can direct my life, but don't touch my music. You can direct my life, but you stay out of my wardrobe. You can't tell me what to do when it comes to my wardrobe. And that's not total surrender.
Right.
Total surrender, it's not surrendering to what people want you to do. That's a misconception. People think, oh, if I surrender to God, well, then everybody could tell me what to do. No, no. God is the one you surrender to. He is the one who tells you what to do. And we've all got to come to the point where if we want to know the will of God, we say, all right, God, I'm going to submit to you. Well, what does that look like? A couple things. It involves, I believe, being submitted to his word. That's where it's got to start. God has revealed his will to us in the Bible. And if there are verses you're not willing to obey, forget trying to know God's will. If you're unwilling to obey what he has to say about lying, well, forget knowing God's will for the next step in your life. Again, it starts with obeying God in His Word. You know, sometimes the Bible cuts across culture. There's a lot of things today that we think are fine that are unbiblical, things that are popular, that are in direct opposition to the Scripture. And we've just got to be willing to say, you know what? What God says in the Bible, I'm willing to obey it, whatever it says. It's not looking at the verses and deciding if they're willing to obey. It's starting with, I am going to obey whatever this book says. But to take it a step further, it's not just surrender to God's words, it's also surrender to God's will. God sometimes will speak to you in your heart and say, I want you to do this. Sometimes He'll say, hey, I want you to hand out a gospel tract. Sometimes He'll say, I want you to stop looking at that. Sometimes He'll say, hey, listen, this podcast is great, but I don't want you to listen to it right now. Sometimes He'll say, hey, that book you're reading, stop. Knock it off. Sometimes He'll say, you know, you're about ready to say something, and He'll say, don't say that. Surrender is being willing to not only obey what the Bible says, but what God says in your heart to you. And I find if we are willing, and again, I'm kind of abridging this a little bit, if we are willing to obey God in anything and everything and to submit to His book and to submit to His promptings, that is the environment in which He will make His will abundantly clear to us. Again, in my life, I've just found when I'm willing to be surrendered to Him, whatever He wants, that's when He shows me. So I don't know if that answers your question there.
No, it did. Wow. I think, too, is we, you know, I know in my life as well, it's like, God, I get nervous to say, God, you know, use me at whatever capacity you want me to.
Yeah.
Because my pride, like you said, sure, it swells up and goes, that's not what I want to do, because I don't want to go where He says go. Because I don't know, you know, it's not what I think it should be. And at that point, the big I comes in.
Yeah, right, totally.
And we've got to erase that and say, God, it's Your will, not mine.
Well, you think about that word devoted, the title of your podcast, right? You think of certain things that are devoted to a specific use, right? These sunglasses right here, they're not yours, they're mine. I can do with these sunglasses whatever I want. If I want to drive down the highway and chuck them out the window, that's my prerogative to do because they're devoted to me.
Right.
If I want to put them on my head, on the back of my head, on the front of my head, I can do that. On the side of my head, that'd be weird, but I can do whatever I want because they're mine. And you are God's. We are God's. If God wants to use us in a way that doesn't make sense to us, that's His prerogative. Our job is not to figure out whether it makes sense. Our job is just to say yes to Him and to submit to Him, whatever that might be.
And just being willing to seek His will.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we get stuck sometimes in just the thought of, I'm just going to pray for God's will, but I'm not going to seek it.
Sure. You know? Well, I find oftentimes we want His will in this area, but we're unwilling over here in this other area. And we've got to start with the areas, start with the known areas where you know God's will. And then once you're submitted to Him in those areas, then you can start seeking Him for the unknown areas. But so often we want to know God's will for college, employment, marriage, right? But we're just unwilling to submit to Him on our phones, you know? And start with the known areas and then work towards the unknown areas.
Yeah, full surrender to the Lord.
Yeah.
Giving Him your whole heart. So I just want to say thank you for coming on
for sure.
the podcast. It's been fun and exciting just to see your ministry, to see how the Lord is using you and your family. You know, we've the devoted kids. You'll get to hear the Bosler kids on that.
I'm a
as
little
well.
Nervous to hear that. I have no idea what they said. Hopefully, they didn't reveal too many family secrets or embarrassing stories about their parents. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, it'll be good. But again, I just want to say thank you for coming on and taking the time. I know you're very busy in this, but you know the Lord's going to use His word, and so we're just excited. Thank you for listening. Listeners, if you'd like to get a hold of us for anything prayer-related, prayer request, or just maybe some comments, you can find us at Devoted Podcast on Apple, iTunes, or you can find us on Spotify. just basically anywhere you you listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us on our email at devoted.podcast.listener@gmail.com and send in your prayer requests, and we will definitely be praying for you as well. And take to heart the things that were said, and let God use these things to change your life. Again, thank you for listening, and hope you have a great day.